Hello and welcome to Logan City Christian Church Podcast. Today we have an impactful teaching by Dr. Reginald Klimenok. Dr. Klimenok's preaching has touched the lives of many, inspiring and challenging audiences with his deep insights into the Bible and Christian theology. Join us as we delve deep into his powerful messages, uncovering timeless truth and practical wisdom that can transform our lives today. Get ready to be inspired, encouraged, and equipped as we journey through the rich tapestry of Dr. Klimenok's preaching.
To the word, shall we? As I said earlier, good to see our brother. You used to be on my team once. God bless you. Nice to have you here. I have an interesting message for you today. How to receive, I've called it the oracles of God. Because the promises in the Bible are spoken of as oracles. The Greek word is the word logion, L-O-G-I-O-N, I think, which means scripture, sentences rather, declaration, the utterances or the oracles of God, or the sayings of God. That's what the word is. We when we think of promises, we sort of at times minimize the power of them. But really, they are the oracles of God. Say with me, the oracles of God. Why can't we receive what God has promised us in this word? Promises of guidance. Promises of divine direction. Thousands of promises in the Bible of comfort, of strength. God makes it very clear, these promises of healing, of provision, of victory. Why do we have at times such difficulty to receive them? In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, the Bible says God led them through the wilderness to all kinds of experiences. The latter part says that man should know that he doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live by. God led them to bring them to the place where they might trust him and his word, and live in that living word of God. Jesus Christ, through John the Divine, writes in the book of the Revelation to the churches. And to each of the churches, he concludes by saying, this is a papyrus, we have it now in this form, but they received this letter, and they read it to all the churches. And then he says at the end, to every one of the churches, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Amazing words. It wasn't just an ordinary piece of letter or words. It was literally the Spirit of God was speaking through that. And he said, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. So the scriptures have been given that we might hear from God. The promises have been given, the oracles, the sayings of God, that we might receive from God. In John chapter 10, Jesus, when he talks about him being the shepherd and we are the sheep, he says in verse 3, he says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. Say, hear his voice. And he calleth his sheep by name and lead them out. Verse 5, the stranger will not follow, but will flee, for they know the voice of a stranger. His sheep do what? Hear his voice. Now, In Hebrews chapter 3, please. Interesting development of truth here through these chapters in Hebrews. You'll notice here in verse 1 of chapter 3, we're holy brethren. What an amazing declaration about ourselves. Partakers of a heavenly calling. We are holy brethren. Partakers of a heavenly calling. This is considered the apostle and high priest of our really confession. And then he talks about Israel in the wilderness, and it says in verse 7, therefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today if you will hear his what? Voice. Harden not your heart. As they did in the provocation, the temptation, the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, they saw my works 40 years, he says. Therefore I was grieved with them. They didn't know my ways, he says there. Amazing words. And then in the next chapter, chapter 4, verse 2, he says, let us therefore fear lest a promise, being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short because of unbelief. A promise. So now he identifies it straight down to us. He uses Israel as an example. But he says, promises left to you. And then it says, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. So they received God's truth, like we've received the gospel today. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So it appears that our faith response is crucial. We have the promises of God. We have received the gospel. Can you say amen? The good news. And notice as he goes on then in that same chapter on that word, he says, verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It gets right inside of you, and joints and marrow. It's a discern of the thoughts when you read the word. God does something with your thoughts. How many know what I'm talking about? And the intents of the heart, he gets right down into your intentions. What the real reason is behind your lifestyle or whatever's going on, he comes and touches the depth of your being. Can you say amen? And then in the next chapter, this promise, this logos, this word, he comes to the end of chapter 5. He says, of whom, verse 11, with many things to say, hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Strong words. For when the time we ought to be teachers, ye have need that others teach you again the first principles of the, now the word is used here, oracles of God. And they become, so Paul was teaching, what was he teaching? The oracles of God. And become such as need of milk and of not of strong meat. It worries me when I see the lack of any word preaching today. It really worries me. I have deep concern. Maybe you don't, but I do. Because it's like we want the milk all the time. Tell me how good I am and how nice I am. And that's all that counts. It doesn't. God wants to do more than that. Can somebody say me? This is verse 40. But strong, is it, the thing that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. And he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. God is trying to make you grow up. Say, grow up. Amen. Even those who by reason of use, say use, is the exercise of the word, is the constant use of the word, living in the word, meditating on the word, spending time in the word. It says, of use have their senses exercised. In other words, it does something to your very character. to your very nature. It has the power to affect your life. Discern both good and evil so that you come into something with God. Can somebody say amen? Notice the next chapter. It's all to do with the Word. There's three great truths in that whole Hebrews. One is the Word, the High Priest, and the Covenants. Three great things that are mentioned in Hebrews. Amazing book. The Word, the High Priest and Ministry of Christ, and the Covenants. And notice here in chapter 6, from verse 12, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and, I wish this wasn't here, patience inherit the promises. They don't come instant. Hello. Patience means you've got to fight it through. You don't give up. Hello, hello, church. You inherit them, how the promise is, through how? Through faith, I wish it wasn't, and patience. We want instant coffee, instant tea, instant God, and we do. No. We have to have that something that pursues after God, amen, church, to inherit all that God has for us. When God promised to Abraham, he could not, he swore by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless thee, I will multiply. He's using Abraham as an example. So after he had patiently endured, how many years? 25 years. Endured, he obtained the promise. Many a person was healed, like I think of Willie Burton. You would know who Willie Burton is. What a great mission. How many remember Willie Burton? Anybody in this room? Yeah, some of you. The old missionary who, well, not me, the man that established the Congo evangelistic mission in years when there was nothing there. He was like a David Livingstone, went there. Jimmy Slaughter and a few others went with him. But he got cancer, and he stood on the Word. By his stripes I'm healed. By his stripes, he told us, he confessed it. By his stripes I'm healed. Years he fought that thing, and it left him. Hallelujah. Faith and what? Patience. Oh, God. Faith and patience to inherit all that God has for him. He wanted to bless him. Surely I will bless thee, verse 14. But after he patiently endured, for men verily swear by the greater an oath for confirmation, so on. Wherein God willing more abundantly, say more abundantly. Say it again. What abundantly? More abundantly. To show unto the heirs of promise. Who are the heirs of promise? You and me. Us. Heirs. What are we? The heirs of promise. Hallelujah. To show unto the heirs of promise the immutability or the unchangingness of his counsel, confirmed it by swearing to it, by an oath. That by two immutable things which is impossible for God to lie. God does not lie to you. Hello, church. We might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to take hold of the hope set therein. In other words, our hope for eternity is in this. Amen, church. And we do with God is in this. We have a hope as an anchor for the soul. Both steadfast and sure, which entered into the within the veil, the forerunner Jesus Christ, the high priest. And in the next chapter, talks about the high priestly ministry of Jesus Christ. Then in chapter 8, now coming to the covenants, chapter 8, verse 6 says, that now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, Jesus, by how much more he's the mediator, mediates a better covenant. Built upon what? Established upon what? Better promises. Better promises. That could be the end of the message. Marvelous. That alone should give you all that you need in God. He said it. His book says it. You have the promises of God Almighty. But some of we have to fight for them. Hallelujah. Amen, church. We have to go after them to receive all that God has for us. All right, number principles. Number one, we have the oracles of God. I told you from Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, Paul declares there that we have received, he spoke as the oracles of God. Declaration, the word is logion, utterances of God Almighty. It in the Greek means declarations of God, the promises, the sentences, the words of God. The Bible is the oracles of God. In Acts chapter 7, in your Bibles, Acts chapter 7, verse 38, it says, this is he that was in the church in the wilderness. That's speaking of Israel, that they were like the ecclesia there. With the angel which spake to him in Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles of God. They received them, given to us. Now, in 2 Peter chapter 1, please, in the light of this, 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter's writing, it says this in verse 16, we have not followed cunningly devised fables, which are not just little stories, we made unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, but we're eyewitness of his majesty. We were once, he's saying there, on the mountain, and we saw the coming of Christ. We saw the power of it in that transfiguration experience. What are you saying there? Because he says, we receive from God the Father glory when it came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard, and we were with him on the Holy Mount. Three men. Remember Peter, James, and John went to with Jesus on Mount Transfiguration? Remember that? And they were eyewitnesses of what the coming of Christ would be like in that day. They saw the power, the majesty of it at that moment. Jesus was always veiled in humanity. For a moment, they saw the glory of this living Christ, the awesomeness of his power and majesty. See, we saw this glorious thing. But notice what it says. We have also, say also, that this is us now, a more sure word of prophecy. We have as much as they had. We have a more sure word. I remember years ago how this gripped me, this verse. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Wonder you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth into a dark place until the day dawn. Hallelujah. And the day star arise in our hearts. We have something even as much as they had on the mount. The word of God, a sure word of prophecy. The word of the living God is called prophecy here. I explain. Knowing this, that no prophecy word of the scriptures is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy which came in old time by the word of man came not in old time by the word of man, but holy men of God spake as they what? Moved by the Holy Ghost. What is the word of God? Men wrote it, but God inspired it. God gave them the words. This is the divine record of events, of thus saith God directly, as much as God spoke on Mount Sinai, and then they had the revelation upon Mount Transfiguration. It says, we have, hallelujah, we have a more sure word of prophecy. It's a light that shines until the day dawn, until he comes, until we go home to him. Hallelujah, church. Amen. What do we have? The book. We have the oracles. We have the promises. We have the word of God that shines as a light into the darkness of this earth. So we, as much as they had it. So the word is the oracles of God. Hallelujah. The Bible, the word of God. Preachers have the oracles of God. It says, for example, in 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm just telling you the Bible. No one can disagree with the Bible. Can you agree with that? Amen. If any man speak, verse 11, let him speak as the oracles of God. So my preparation should be not we just get a little word, nice little examples, but I have to speak as the very what? Oracles of God. Amazing. The men in prelims speak as the oracles of God. And let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that in God and all may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory and praise and dominion. Always Jesus. Dominion and honor forever and ever. We are to speak how? As the very oracles of God. Preach as the very, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter, I won't be able to finish this today, there's so much more in this, I just, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I think it is verse, where are we? Is it 2 verse 13? It says, let me find it for you. For this cause thank we God always without ceasing. Because when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, you receive it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Which then, if you receive it like that, effectually works in you, that belief. If you have the ability to receive it like this, it has the power to keep working in you if you only have faith. And believe that word will operate powerfully in every area of your life. Can you say amen? It's amazing. I forgot the scripture, but when it talks about it, Israel, it says in chapter 3 of Romans, what advantages have the Jew? Verse 1. In the midst of it, it says, for every chiefly, because unto them were committed the oracles of God. The word came through us, through Jewish people. Don't ever forget that. Mainly through Jews. The Jew, Paul was a Jew. And before that, Israel, the whole Old Testament, there were Jews. To them was committed. We are blessed as the recipients. Can you say amen? In chapter 9, again, he talks because they have been set aside, he says. This one. But in verse 4, he says, who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law of God and the promises to them was committed all this marvelous stuff. And we are the recipients of it. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. Just a little bit longer. I won't be too long this morning. I'll surprise you. And I'll go on next week on the same subject, maybe a week or two. When God speaks to you through the oracles of God, God rarely addresses your problems. He always addresses your future. I'll explain to you why. It's the most amazing thing about God. He knows your problems. He knows all about you and your personality. But he rarely addresses your problems. He always addresses your future. Let me give an example, and I'll go on with this. I have much to say first, and then next week we'll continue. When God came to Moses in the wilderness, he'd been there for 40 years. He didn't address any of the promises that Moses, any of the problems that Moses had. He didn't say, Moses, it's because of your stupidity that brought you to this wilderness. Or we say, oh, God was molding him. Maybe it's true. But he brought it about. Let's understand this. You murdered someone. You did some stupid things. You couldn't control your temper. You thought it was the moment that I would deliver Israel. You didn't say any of that. And you've been living now in the backsides of the desert for 40 years. 8 years of age. Still very young, and everybody says. Amen. Come on, oldies. Still very young, and everybody says. Amen. All right. You got all these. No, God immediately addressed the future. And he told him what he wanted to do with him. He told him about the future of Israel and how he would deliver them from bondage, how he would set him to do this. Moses kept addressing the problem until God got mad at him.
Come on, church. I could go through, and I'll do that next week, through Peter, through all of these guys. He never addresses their problems, and I'll explain. He addresses their future. Let me take another one, for example. Hallelujah. Abraham. You say, what a mighty man of faith. Not always, church. He did some ridiculous things. When God called him, he said, get out of your family. Leave all of them aside. He takes Lot with him. And while Lot is there, God hasn't talked to him for years. And finally, through tremendous pressure, Lot has to go because there was family disputes about not enough land. And as soon as he stops it in Genesis 13, God makes his promises again. He doesn't even say to him, you stupid fool, why didn't you get rid of Lot? You see, maybe he called his own 25 years. I don't know. And then God says, you know, God never wanted him to go down to Egypt. How do I know that? Because in Genesis 26, he speaks to Isaac, says, don't do what your papa did. Don't go down to Egypt. So Abraham goes down to Egypt. This mighty man of faith, and he says to his wife, don't tell them you're my wife, they'll kill me, you're so beautiful. He says, and he calls her his sister, which is a little teeny wee bit of truth. Because he was some little relationship to her like a sister. It's all right. I mean, and she ends up in the palace to be married to Abraham. To the king Pharaoh, sorry. To Pharaoh. And if it wasn't God warning this fellow, you understand? And then still God, he leaves Egypt blessed. Listen carefully. Blessed in order of this mess up. Because he was a covenant child, explained it. He, what's the word I'm looking for? He, doesn't matter. To save his own skin, he told fibs, if not lies. And yet God, and then when the promise doesn't come, he goes into Hagar, his slave, and creates a child, Ishmael, which has been the problem of the world since then. And God doesn't say, you stupid man. But when you go to the end of his life, he says, not to the end, when finally the promise comes to him, he says, the words, and I preach on that sometimes, get your heart perfect. God doesn't address the problems, but you have to deal with them. Now, why is it done like this? And I'll just explain to you a little bit this week and do more. I believe God does this with all of us. He rarely addresses our problems. He always addresses our future. Not because he doesn't want us to change. Holiness and character is crucial to God. Can somebody say amen? God wants us to be like Jesus. God wants us, his intention is our freedom, our effectiveness. Does he want these things in our life? No. Does he want permit these things for our development? No. But he gives us a future and a hope. And I want to show you why, in a moment, why he works like this. You see, we want to be sort of zapped into perfection. Zapped into Christian character. Boom! Rise of the wisdom of an angel, never to sin anymore. I wish it was like that. Christian easyism. But it doesn't work like that. You have to work with the Word. Hello? You have to let the Word to discern good and evil. You have to let the Word make you like Jesus. For example, now in Jeremiah 29, here's Israel messing up terribly. King maybe responds to a lot of this. He's talking after 70 years of accomplishing Babylon, verse 10, going through circumstances. And then it says in verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil." Hallelujah. I thank God for that. If God dealt with you according to your problems, wow. Which of us could cope with it? But he keeps telling us he's got good thoughts toward us to give us an expected end. He says, pray in verse 12. Now I'll tell you why now. How many want to know why? Thank you, Beth. The rest of you can listen anyway. Number one, because the blood covenant has sealed us into our destiny. I've been talking about covenants, remember, for weeks. The blood covenant has sealed us. Because we're not in probation, but we're in destiny. Say with me, I'm not in probation, I'm in destiny. You're not sort of God is sitting back there in heaven saying, wait till he just trips up and I will bang him on his blessed assurance. And I will deal with him. We're in destiny, church. And he is pushing forward. You become a child of God. And he's pushing forward in every way he can through our downness, through our flesh, to push us into the destiny that God has for us. And he'll do anything, anything. He did so on the cross. He gave everything. He's prepared the whole of heaven for us. That's not for angels, they're ministering spirits. It's for us, redeemed. Mansions of glory. Eternity with God. Hallelujah. You see, he's not... He has totally committed himself to you. He's not about to change his mind. He doesn't change his mind. God cannot lie. Remember Hebrews 6? He's made an oath. And the moment you accepted Christ as your Savior, you came into something of the eternal purpose of God that I talked about, which was planned before the foundations of the world. You're in it now. Hallelujah. You're in it now. Because why does he do it this way? I'll tell you why. Remember what happened to Peter when he failed? He said to Peter, I'm praying that your what? Faith fail not. I'm praying that you won't let go. That you won't give up. That you won't throw in the towel. That you won't think it's all over. And he really didn't address that thing again with Peter. Did you notice that? Never addressed it. When he went away again, he says, do you love me more than these? Peter just said, Lord, you know everything. He says, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. He never, and even when, remember at the resurrection, when he says, go and, I love that. Go and tell my disciples. And Peter, oh, the love of God. Oh, the mercy of God. Because why? You see, why does God do it this way? Because hope and faith must remain. Your great growth comes according to your hope and to your faith. Your growth comes according to your hunger for God, your expectation that God will not let you go. Remember that psalm I read with you? Because of all this, he says, my expectation is in you. And man will rest in you because of what you have promised. Oh, Shandriya Kalasa. Because of what You're not being tested. You're being prepared, molded, fashioned. You're His for eternity. Can somebody agree with me? And if you're really redeemed, you'll feel miserable about that stupid stuff in your life. You won't rejoice in sin if you're really born again. You don't habitually, deliberately sin because something has happened to you. You won't throw this stuff away anymore. Glorious things have happened to you. You're a child of the redeemed. Philippians 3, I'm nearly through this morning. We'll go on much more next week and so on. Philippians chapter 3. Turn to it. The Apostle Paul says, we're conscious of our needs. He was. Where am I? You find this. Philippians 3:13, he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. This one thing I do. This one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. The word there is actually ministry, what I do for God. That's what it means. That's the word they use there. For the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This one thing I do. Because the past, unless you loose yourself from it, will bind you. The chains must be released. It binds you emotionally. It binds you physically. It binds you spiritually. And if you let the past be lived in the present, because that's what Satan does. Satan's biggest job is the accuser of the brethren to take the past, to intimidate you, to undermine you, that you lose your effectiveness and your sense of death. You cannot enter the future until you release yourself from that past. And that's where faith and hope comes in. Faith in the blood. Faith in the covenant. The biggest struggle you have is in this area. Isaiah 43 says, oh, I love this word. I am getting blessed, even if you're not. I'm getting blessed. It says, remember not, verse 18, remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I do a new thing. This is the principle of God. Don't live in the past. Behold, I do a new thing. It shall spring forth, and you shall know it. I will make the way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I can do anything, God says. I let the wilderness change by my power. Rivers in the desert. But you've got to forget the past. Because the past will kill you. And Satan will make sure it intimidates you and somehow defeats you and lets you go under until you can't even breathe anymore. Forget it, he says. Go on to the future. Will you do that? Notice what he says in the previous verse. And I'm back to Philippians, I am. Philippians 3:12. Not as though I've already attained. You never feel you've reached it. Even the Apostle Paul. Either already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Jesus apprehended me when he touched me in salvation. Amen. When he touched me by his awesome grace and power many times and amazing visitations. When he touched me with the fullness of the Holy Spirit, he apprehended me. And now I am doing what? I'm pursuing that which he begun in me. I'm going after with all of my might and strength and power. Can you say amen? He took hold of me at the baptism. Then he says, this one thing I do, forget the past. He says, I haven't taken hold of everything yet. The greatest have moments. I think of John the Baptist. I've told you that before in Matthew 11. This man that heard the voice of God at the baptism saying, this is my beloved son whom I'm well pleased. This man that saw the Holy Ghost descend upon him like a dove knew that he was the Son of God. This man who before he knew anything about him says, behold the Lamb of God. This man of tremendous power is now in prison. And suddenly the humanity of John comes out. He says he sends his disciples to Jesus. He says, are you the one? Even he, mighty man, or do we look for another? All of us have moments. All of us have things that we sometimes struggle with. And Jesus answers and says, what he said in Luke 4:18. He doesn't say, John, tell him I'm he. But mystery. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. And he says, blessed are they which are not offended in me. Don't let anything stop you. Don't let anything that you go through that was like an offense to John. He was in prison. Time had come. Head would be chopped off. Don't get offended. May I say this as I close to all of you today. In your humanity, don't get offended. If the promises aren't yet fulfilled, don't get offended. In your limitations, don't get offended. Because offense will kill you. Offense will torture you. Cause you to miss out on so much of God. I will tell you more yet why we don't receive the promises as we go on next week. Why we at times don't receive all that God has for us. Say with me, I'm not in probation. I'm in destiny. And God give me hope and faith to fulfill all His plan for my life. Can we bow in prayer? Father, help us as believers not to live in our humanity too much. Like John even, will we question the divine? Give us the ability to trust you. To know even when things come our way, you cannot fail. You cannot fail. Lift your hand and say, He cannot fail, for He is God. He cannot fail. He's pledged His word. He cannot fail. He'll see you through. He cannot fail. He'll answer you. Thank you, Father. Now, as we're bowed in prayer, may I ask, is there anyone here that doesn't know Jesus? I wouldn't live one day without the presence of the King. Give your life to Christ. That's the greatest thing in the world. Give your life to Jesus. See, I really don't know if I'm saved, but I want to be saved. I want to give my heart to Jesus. If that is you this morning, would you raise your hand? Let me pray with you. God, give us faith, that our faith fail not. Come on, church, give us hope. To see that God will not fail us. Let no intimidation of the enemy ever undermine our effectiveness. None should feel they don't belong to God if they made a covenant with you and received Jesus. They belong to you. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Can we stand, please, together and join hands? Our Father, which art in heaven. Of our Lord Jesus Christ. The grace, remember I preached on this, whereby you know you're accepted in the beloved. The grace that says you're perfect through the blood. And the love of God, because God loves us with an everlasting love, unchanging love, that is ever declared over our lives in so many marvelous ways. And the fellowship of the Holy Ghost, never lose the presence of the Holy Ghost, be with you. Both now and forever. Amen. Remember, there's coffee and tea outside for $2 with some biggies. And remember tonight on angels. God bless you. He is faithful that promise. Can you say amen?
Thank you again for tuning in today's powerful message from Dr. Reginald Klimenok. We hope this has touched your heart and inspired your spirit. Stay connected with Logan City Christian Church for more uplifting sermons and spiritual guidance. Follow us on social media to join our community and stay updated on all our latest happenings. Remember, together we grow in faith and love. Until next time, may God's blessing be with you always.